Brethren, it is so good to be with you this morning. We think of you very often, and we appreciate, we're thankful to God for your love and care for us and the prayers that you offer on our behalf. In Acts 17, verse 6, we read, "But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, 'These who have turned the world upside down have come here too.'" Brethren, that's exactly what the gospel does. Amen. The gospel turns the world upside down. Wherever the gospel goes, it turns people and it turns the world upside down. Whether that be here in Florida, whether it be in the Pacific Islands, wherever the gospel goes. This morning, we want to consider how the gospel is turning the world upside down in the Northwest Pacific Islands. The gospel also forces the church to go upward. The church is always going to be moving forward and upward. Amen, brethren? It's not ever going to be moving down or backward, but forward and upward. It's the upward call of God. Like we see in Philippians 3:14, "I press on. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Philippians 3:14. So, brethren, in the islands, the church is moving upward. And first of all, it's moving upward in brothers and sisters. Of course, we're talking about the Northwest Pacific. We're north of the equator. Many times people call it the South Pacific, I think because of the movie of many years ago. But it is in the North Pacific, brethren, Northwest. Here we have the church in Palau. They are 20 members and very evangelistic. They are always bringing their co-workers and friends to the worship services, and we rejoice over that. Here we have many of the men of the church in Sabo Village in Chuuk. And they are working steadily on growing. Here we have the Epanoop Village. There's 10 in Sabo and 20 members in Epanoop Village. The road to Epanoop Village is very difficult, brethren. You have to have a 4x4 to get there. And even that can be challenging at times. It's got to be a 4x4 raised high off the ground. We have tried to get there the last two trips and not been able to because the one man we know who has a 4x4, it has broken and he does not have the funds or the ability to get it fixed. And so we've not been able to make it, which is very heavy on our hearts. But brethren, one time we rented a two-wheel drive truck that was too low to the ground, and we really wanted to go, and I really wanted to go, and we're sitting at the base of a hill, and a Trico says, "I can make it." I said, I had already tried three or four times, brethren, and couldn't make it. Atrico says, "I can make it." So I said, "Okay, Atrico." And I got in the bed of the truck, and he took the keys. And so, brethren, he backed way up and floored the truck and went gunning up this hill. And we bounced all the way to the top of the hill. Well, we made it, brethren, we made it. But, you know, in Chuuk, there's no insurance, no nothing. If the truck breaks, it's on me to fix it, you know, and to pay for it. And so I said, "Trico, thank you very much, but get out. I'm taking us back down the hill. We can't make it all the way to Chuuk, all the way to Epanoop like that." And so I appreciated his good heart, brethren, to try to get us there. The church and the people of Chuuk are very good-hearted people. They are open to listening to the gospel. It is easier to set up a study in the islands than it is to set up a study here in the United States. But brethren, they're not necessarily easier to convert. The Chuukese people, one of their qualities is they're very slow to change their minds. They have grown up in a culture that has been heavily influenced by Catholicism, and they just know, everybody in Chuuk just knows that babies have to be baptized. And so we teach them, of course, from the Bible that only believing adults are ever baptized and that a person must believe, repent, and confess in order to be able to be baptized. Brethren, we have to teach that maybe 10 times before we see the person's mind change on that. They also just know, according to what everyone in Chuuk believes, they just know that they are to follow the Old Testament and to abide by the guidelines of the Old Testament, rules of the Old Testament. And so, brethren, we show them that they are not doing so and that you cannot do so. To follow the Old Testament would mean you're contradicting the New Testament. And so, brethren, we have to teach on that over and over again. And then maybe after 10 to 15 times teaching that lesson, their minds will start to change. They're a good people. And we see baptisms and fruit coming out of Chuuk. But, brethren, they're slow to change. Here we have Popoy being baptized. We come and report to you every 2 years, and since we were here with you last, there have been 26 baptisms. This is Palau, And the church is 20 members in Palau. Brethren, that makes for a very small base of men to lead the worship services. Polpoi, just very soon after his baptism, had to start leading singing, and he is really the primary song leader in the church in Palau. Jeremiah is another who was baptized and jumped right in with reading scriptures and being a part of the work, being a part of the work. We're teaching and training these good new young Christians to teach others and to baptize others. In Luke 15, verse 7, we read, "There's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." And so, brethren, we rejoice over these new brothers and sisters in Christ. Here, Agnes is being baptized. Agnes is a dear, sweet lady. Raquel being baptized. Agnes makes $150 a month. She works 14 hours a day, 6 days a week. That's not a stretch at all. Her hours are 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. And brethren, she works hard. She almost went home back to the Philippines. They come over from the Philippines to work. She almost went home when her employer raised her hand to slap her, but somebody caught her employer's hand. But they made amends, brethren, and she stayed. And even for that small amount of pay, she's very eager to stay there in Palau and work and be able to send some money back home. And so, brethren, the Filipinos work very hard. Here, Francis was baptized. Francis has psoriasis, which is the skin itching disease. And brethren, if it progresses, it goes into the joints and makes it very difficult to move. Francis' psoriasis has progressed just about as far as it will go. She can not move very easily at all. But we went through the Bible studies with Francis, and brethren, she wanted to be baptized. God be thanked. You know, sprinkling was invented by denominations for people like Francis. She cannot move. She cannot get out of bed very easily at all. And that's why they brought that in about 600 A.D. But brethren, Francis understood that she could not be sprinkled. It was not the Bible's method of baptism. And so she wanted to be immersed into Christ. She got ready. We took the middle seat out of a minivan because she could not crawl up into the seat. She could make her way on the crutches to the car and then lay down, fall into the middle of the minivan. And so we did that and then drove over to the beach. And with Boyette and I on either side, we walked her out into the water. The beach in Saipan has a very very shallow slope. And so we had to go out about 50 feet to get into 2.5 feet of water. Brethren, it was very painful for her. What I'm telling you is that she had to sacrifice in order just to get out in the water to be baptized. Well, we got out there, brethren, and we had to keep on holding her because the waves would have knocked her down several times. And then timing it in between the waves, put her under and then walk her back up on the beach. But brethren, Frances was baptized into Christ. She had her sins washed away and she wanted it badly enough to go through the pain of actually doing the baptism. She understood that that's what she needed to do. So Francis was immersed into Christ. Here we have Aaron and Ling, who were baptized. Aaron was baptized 1 year before Ling. He's an American. We get really excited, brethren, when we get to convert an American. They're harder, you know. Harder to convert those Americans. That's right. So Aaron was baptized, and his Chinese wife, Ling, was 1 year later. And brethren, he had waited so patiently and so eagerly for her baptism that when she was baptized, he was weeping, sitting here holding her on the beach after the baptism. Brethren, we thought he was going to hold her all night long. He just sat there holding her forever over the joy in his heart of her baptism. Well, they have moved to Florida. We just had dinner with them 3 nights ago, and they have moved here to, they're in Central Florida, and faithful members of the church there near near Lakeland. And so we rejoice over Aaron and Ling's baptism as well. Here we have Los Nina being baptized. She's Chukis. And another, Joanna, was baptized in Chuuk. Joanna made the second person who has been immersed into Christ on Udot Island in Chuuk. So, brethren, when she was baptized, it doubled the size of the church on Udot. Amen? That's right. And so we rejoice over these new brothers and sisters in Christ. The church is moving upward in brothers and sisters, and it's also moving upward in faith. And brethren, it has to be that way. The church has got to grow in faith as it grows in number as well. The older Christians have to then teach and train the newer Christians. It is easy to report how many baptisms have taken place. It is difficult to report the equipping of the saints, the edifying and the encouraging of the saints, the spiritual growth of the saints. But brethren, it is happening. It has to happen for the health of the church, for the growth of the church. Here we see the men in Chuuk and Sabo Village. They started their own Wednesday Bible class completely on their own, and they're doing preacher training in these Wednesday classes. That is exactly what the church in the islands needs. They are small in number. They are growing in faith. And the area where they need to continue that growth is in leadership. Leadership. And so, brethren, they're doing it. They're taking forward steps on their own in leadership with classes like these. The church in Epinup is having their classes. Here we see some of the members in Palau, newly baptized, getting involved in the worship services, like we said. Here you see Junior doing the preaching. Emmy had been doing the preaching, but he went back to the Philippines. His contract ran up, and he's an older man, so he kindly retired and went back home. Well, there's no preacher left in Palau, so Junior stepped up to do the preaching. Brethren, he's not a preacher. I love him dearly, and I'm not saying anything negative about my good brother, but he's not a public speaker, you know what I mean. But brethren, there's no one else to do it. No one else stepping up saying, I'll do it. And so Junior goes way outside of his comfort zone and says, I'll do it. Junior's doing all of the preaching, all of the teaching in the church there in Palau. Brethren, that's leadership. That's standing up to the responsibility and saying, here am I, send me. Here am I, I'll do it. So we rejoice over Junior's willingness to take on those jobs. Here he has brought a visitor. We were meeting in a storefront for a while until the building was finished. Of course, you recognize Robert Martin, and he's teaching one of the PIBC courses there. These PIBC courses last for 3 weeks. They are 2 hours every night. This is one of the best ways for the members of the church in the islands to get that training, that equipping, that spiritual growth that we're talking about. They love the PIBC courses. In Palau, they get one maybe once every 2 years. In Saipan, they get them every year. In Chuuk, whenever we can, maybe once every 2 years, maybe even every 3 years. But brethren, we try to get them as many as they can because the church members love them. We'll see half the church show up for these courses. Now remember with me, Agnes works 14 hours a day, 6 days a week. And so then on top of that, at night, coming to the Bible classes for 2 hours for 3 weeks. So brethren, it's a real commitment. It's a real sacrifice for them to come. The other members of the church in Palau have similar hours to Agnes, and so they've got to want it. And brethren, they do. They really come to the PIBC courses. Half the church will come in Palau, half the church will come in Saipan, and more than half, all of the church and then some will come in Chuuk. They really attend very well in Chuuk. And so this is just another way that the church is moving upward in faith. Here Pat Cowden is teaching in Saipan. So upward in brothers and sisters, upward in faith, and brethren also upward in buildings. Here the church in Chuuk has put up this hip-high or knee-high wall this year, of course doing all the work themselves. We try to stretch the Lord's money, every dollar, as far as we can so that we can do more. The church in Palau has just completed a church building to meet in. This is where they were meeting before, and brethren, it is a very humble place. It is a workers' barracks, and it would not meet code in any country, I suppose. They're exposed wires. It's put together with shipping containers, old tin for the roof, and really looks very thrown together. Brethren, it looks dirty. I'm not saying it is dirty. In the islands, they take their shoes off and then just walk barefoot on the floor to keep the floor clean. Well, that's been happening many years on the concrete floor of this structure here, and so it looks very dirty. The church has been meeting here for some time. Brethren, that's okay, isn't it? It's fine for the church to meet in a very humble place. They're meeting. This is all they've got. This is where what they had, and so they were meeting there. One of the brothers' houses is where they're meeting. Well, that's okay, brethren. We could meet under the tree. We could meet out in a barn. We could meet anywhere. God's going to hear our worship and be pleased with our worship. But you know where it makes a difference? In bringing visitors to the worship services. We would have visitors come, and brethren, I remember watching one visitor, and they were just sitting there very drawn into themselves, kind of looking around, very uncomfortable in their surroundings. One night we were teaching classes and the lights went out. The flying cockroaches swarmed. Just swarmed. You could hear them buzzing. Brethren, I didn't know to freeze and stand still or run out of the building. I decided to freeze. I figured fewer would hit me that way. But brethren, that's the kind of building that it is. That's where the church has been worshiping. Okay for worship for the members. Brethren, really not good for the visitors. It's hindering the growth of the church, you see. Well, there's a brother in Alabama who agreed to donate and ship a building. A prefabricated building, you just have to assemble it on site. And so we were delighted, brethren, delighted. And he said, you find the land and lay the foundation and the building is on its way. So we said, great, we went to find the land. And so this is the first piece of land that we found, and the brethren built a temporary classroom structure there. We called the man and said, we found the land. He shipped the building and arrived. And I went to the owner of the land to make sure he had the building permit, because he said he would get it. We gave him the money to get it, and he was supposed to get it. And brethren, I wanted to make sure everything was solid before we moved the container on site, just for security reasons. Well, brethren, he was in his house, which was great. That meant I didn't have to hike up the mountain and find him trying to pick the coconuts that he sells for his living. So he was in the house, and I was very glad. I knocked on the door, and he was sleeping inside on the couch. He stirred when I knocked. I announced who I was, and they called to him, said, I'm here, the container's here, we've got to move it, so do you have the permit? Brethren, he didn't get up. And so I knocked again, and this is an emergency type time, because I'm only in Palau 1 week every 2 months, and in Chuuk on the off month, the 1 week every 2 months. And so I only had a few days to move the container. The gentleman had to get up and help me do it now. We had business to tend to. So I knocked on the door, and he would not move. And I knocked again, and he would not move. And I kept knocking. And brethren, it was clear what he was wanting to do, just me go away and leave him, let him sleep. Well, brethren, I couldn't. So I kept knocking and kept knocking, and I figured eventually this man will get up out of his bed and deal with the business that we've got to deal with. And brethren, he did. Yes, he did. But he was very mad, unfortunately. Sometimes the islanders settle their differences with machetes. We have, yes, yes, brethren. And when he stood up and grabbed the machete, started walking toward me like this, that's when I decided we didn't need that land so badly after all. Amen. Well, brethren, we did not want to be in a business relationship with someone who would act like that or someone who would not take care of business when it was time to. So we pulled out of that land. Very difficult decision, very heavy on our hearts decision, because the land is very hard to find. Very hard to, first of all, find it and then find it where the person is willing to lease it to you. We cannot own land in Palau. You have to have a certain percentage of Palauan blood in order to own the land. Well, brethren, it cost us 3 to 6 months, actually more. It cost us 8 months' time by letting that piece of land go before we could even start the building. Well, we had to move on to another piece of land. And this gentleman said, yes, I'll lease it to you. Let me just have it surveyed and we'll draw up the contract and we can sign it and be good to go. I said, great, and went back to Saipan off that trip. I called him 2 weeks later, hadn't heard from him, and said, are we still good for the land? He said, yes, let me have it surveyed and we'll draw up the contract and be good to go. I said, great, and waited another 2 weeks. Brethren, we kept waiting. We kept calling. 3 months passed. And the man had done nothing for the land, so we knew something was wrong. Later found out that he was in favor of the land deal, but his wife was not. It's a matriarchal society. The land travels through the female line. And so if the wife said no deal, then no deal. It's really her land. Well, brethren, he didn't tell us that. We had to learn it over the course of time. So that land disappeared as well. Then we came to the third piece of land. And brethren, our hearts are heavy because the church needs that building. Plus, the man had sent the building expecting us to put it up, and here we are delayed and delayed. Well, we came to this piece of land, and a little old lady had a governmental lease. And so she said, I want to sublease it to you. She's wanting to supplement her income. So I said, great, let me see your contract. She got it, and it said, no subleases without governmental approval. That's right, that's right. Well, brethren, we had no other good options, and so we tried for the governmental approval, and it took 6 weeks. 6 weeks of being there, physically in Palau, being there, talking to the right people, rewriting the letters, writing the letters, readjusting the land plot. But, brethren, we got it. We got it. We got the permission, we entered into a three-way contract between us, the little old lady, and the government for a 50-year lease on this piece of land, a portion of this lot, and God be thanked. God be thanked. Just as soon as they gave us the okay and issued us the building permit, we started digging the holes for the foundation, for the columns. We put the building up on columns because it's a very small lot. There'll be no other room for a second building later. And so we're going to put the auditorium up on columns and then be able to put the classrooms downstairs at a later time. The church was able to help on Sunday, after worship services on Sundays. They were working their regular jobs through the week, so we hired help to get the building built through the week, and then the church came with food on Sundays after the services. Brethren, it took 6 weeks, and we had to dress in this manner. You'll notice a towel under the hat to keep the sun off the back of the head, and then long sleeves as well. It's closer to the sun. The sun is more direct. You burn more easily than even here in Florida, there in Palau. Say, well, why didn't you just use sunscreen? Brethren, it would wash off in maybe 1 hour because of the sweating. All of the road workers, all of the people who work outside will dress this way and in order to keep the heat, in order to keep the sun off of their skin. Well, we got through the construction of the building. The power company was not able to install power at any time during our construction process. They ran out of the parts they needed to make new connections. They told us to make our part of the connection. We said, great, we did. And then they said, we're out of the parts we need to make the connection. So for the last 4 weeks of the 10 weeks, we ran an extension cord from the gas station next door, and we're able to have one power tool at a time running during the construction during the last 4 weeks. The man who sent the building was very gracious and sent asphalt shingles with the building. And that was terrific because they last 25 or 30 years or more. And in Palau, they use the sheet metal tin roofing exclusively. We may be the only building in Palau with asphalt shingles. Well, brethren, that was great, but we needed asphalt shingle nails, which are a very specific little nail, a big head and maybe half inch to 3/4 inches long. Well, they don't sell asphalt shingles, brethren, so they didn't have asphalt shingle nails. We had to take bolt cutters and cut a 2.5-inch long nail, every one of them, down to half inch. And for those of you who know roofing, brethren, we still put 4 nails per shingle, amen? We did not chintz anything with the building. Well, it's finished. It's finished. And the church in Palau, this is a physical project, but brethren, it has great spiritual ramifications. The church in Palau now has a place where they can bring visitors, a place where they can worship without being ashamed at all, without worrying about whether or not their building is turning someone away from the truth, whether their building is ultimately going to cost someone their soul. And so we rejoice over the building being finished in Palau. Dan McLeod was able to be with us. He was with us during the time when we were waiting for the permit. Time when we were waiting for the permit, and we appreciated his help. We appreciated his help very much. Dan was actually instrumental in helping us figure some of the load for the concrete columns and also the floor. So it was great to have a brother who's an engineer there helping us as well. You saw the sign flashed by just a moment ago, Palau Church of Christ, established 33 AD. We have to put the established 33 AD on there, brethren, because there are several groups in the islands who use the name Church of Christ. There's the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They don't like the name that they're commonly known by. They really want to just go by the Church of Jesus Christ. And so when we introduce ourselves and they say, oh, what are you in Palau for? Oh, we're with the church work. Oh, which church are you with? The Church of Christ. They say, oh, the Church of Jesus Christ. No, that's not it. That's not it. There's another religious group, Pentecostal Church of Christ Fourth Watch. So they may say, oh, Pentecostal Church of Christ. No, that's not it. There's another group, Iglesia Ni Cristo. This is a Filipino denomination. And their founder, Felix Manalo, was a member of the Church of Christ here in the States for a while before going back to the Philippines and starting his denomination. Well, brethren, he liked our name. He liked what we taught on the name. And so he translated it into Tagalog, started his group, and on their buildings it says in very large letters, Iglesia Ni Cristo. And then in small letters, Church of Christ, established 1914. And so they say, oh, you're Iglesia Ni Cristo. And we say, no, that's not it. Just Church of Christ. And so we put established 33 AD on there, not as part of the name, but as part of the description of the church to differentiate ourselves from these other groups. And brethren, it's a good conversation starter because they'll say, oh, it's a very old church. We say, yes, Jesus established this church. And so it really helps us to get our foot in the door further. So it's a blessing in a way. Tammy was and the children were able to be with me in Palau. They flew down on frequent flyer miles. And brethren, I could not have been there 4 months without having them with me. She was instrumental in the construction of the building, not in construction itself, but in going to the hardware stores almost every day, ordering and getting the materials that we needed. Right. So the church is moving upward in buildings, faith, brothers and sisters, also in co-workers. This is the Pat and Maria Cowden family. They wanted to do mission work in the islands, but their daughter has scoliosis, the curvature of the back, and she wears one of those very tight braces. She has to be where there's a chiropractor. And brethren, Saipan is one of, if not the, only places in the islands where there's a chiropractor. And so it was decided they could come to Saipan, take over the work in Saipan, and then Tammy and I could move to Palau and continue working with Chuuk. So there's a little bit of a change in the islands we'll be working, just leaving Saipan to them, but we will continue working with Palau and Chuuk regularly. Maybe then also able to get Yap back into the circuit. And so, brethren, they arrived. The Pat and Maria Cowden family arrived in Saipan in May of this year. They're doing a wonderful job, good sound family. And we will work with them for 1 year more, maybe 1 to 2 years more to help that transition. And then, Lord willing, we'll be moving on to Palau. Pat is really focusing his efforts on Tinian, an island to the south. And here you see the map of the Northwest Pacific. Moving upward in co-workers, and also, brethren, moving upward in opportunities. You know, when one project is finished, when one door is closed, the Lord is going to open another door for us. We see several doors opening in the islands for opportunities to continue with new projects in the work, new aspects of the work. Here we see the Thursday night studies in Saipan. We started these in February of this year. And it's just a regular weekly Bible study at the building, group Bible study for non-Christians. Usually our Bible studies are one-on-one with people. And we said, well, let's try this. And so we tell our members they cannot come unless they bring a non-member, bring a visitor. And brethren, we've seen 4 or 5 baptisms from this weekly study that's been going on this year. Here you see the top of the church building in Palau. You may be familiar with the work of Randy English in the South Pacific. Brethren, he is doing some wonderful things with radio work down there. And we are very excited about putting an FM antenna on top of the church building in Palau, where it is situated. It has a downward overview of Koror Island, and that covers almost all of the population of Palau. A one-time investment, small investment, would help us to, would enable us to put a FM antenna on top of the building there. So the license, though, that's the problem. $35,000 license from the FCC to be able to do it. But, brethren, they open a window once every few years, maybe once every 5 years, and open a window so that we could apply for and get our license for free. Nothing. We would be non-commercial and non-profit, and that we would get our license for free. That window opens up next year. So we're very excited, brethren, for a very small investment. We can have our own dedicated radio station there in Palau. We're not committed to it at this point, just thinking about it and praying about it. Think about it and pray about it for us. But you see, brethren, this is one of the opportunities that we could pursue here in the islands. Atrico, coming down this coconut tree, he also is pursuing the opportunities that are open and available to him. If you go to Epanoot Village with me, you want to make friends with Atrico because he's the only one who can get you something to drink. Not the only one, but if you want something to drink, you're going to need somebody to climb the coconut tree. There are no stores where they could get you a Coke or something like that. If you walk for maybe 30 minutes, you could come to a little shack in the road where if they haven't run out yet, you could get instant coffee. You could get a cup of instant coffee for 50 cents. But otherwise, brethren, you're going to need an Atrico to go up and get you a coconut. Very remote place. Well, Atrico is taking advantage of the opportunities that are open to him. He studied with this young lady here, studied with and baptized her completely on his own. Well, brethren, that's the leadership that we're looking for. That's the leadership that we're talking about. And so what a wonderful thing that they are growing the church, building the church on their own. This young lady has had a hard way to go. You see her children gathered around her there, but her husband is not in the picture. Her husband had left her for another lady, and he moved to another island, brethren, Phaethon Island, only a 5-minute boat ride away. But you see, this is a problem. Chuuk is a small state, made up of a few islands. Chuuk is a small state and a small population. Everybody knows what everybody else is doing, you know what I mean, like a small town. Well, the people did not like the fact that he left his wife and left those children and went off with this other lady and just making a new life on another island. So, brethren, they made him a gift. They made him a fish. Nice, huh? Nice. They put the special spices on that fish. And then they did what they think is the magic over that fish. Some chanting and maybe ritualistic type movements. Brethren, they believe in the black magic with all their heart. They think they have seen it all of their lives, affecting their loved ones, affecting themselves. And so it is difficult for us to teach them that there's no such thing as black magic. It's difficult for us to show them from the Bible that all power belongs to God, and He has not given power to voodoo doctors and witch doctors and things of that nature. Well, anyway, brethren, they did the magic over this fish and gave it to him, and it killed the man. It took his life. It certainly did. It did. They took his life. And the sad part, that's sad, brethren, but there's another sad part to that story. And that is that these children will grow up without a father. Someone asked me, well, what did the police do? Brethren, the police don't have any real jurisdiction. They have jurisdiction, but not any real influence or control over the outer islands in Chuuk. The police in Chuuk can monitor the main town area on the main island. And once you get outside of that, then it's tribal justice. You're on your own. If a drunk gets out of order, the other men of the village get together and they teach him a lesson in the old-fashioned kind of way. We witnessed that one day. And so this man, his life was taken, but the children are now going to grow up without a father. And because he's passed on now, there's no chance of reconciliation or putting it back together, anything like that. And so our hearts are heavy for the children. Brethren, one of the reasons why we've got to continue to take the gospel to the islands, Chuuk and the others, is not only for the salvation of their souls, but also the improvement of their way of life. You know, when we follow the Bible and its teachings, our lives are better, amen? Our lives are improved. God gave rules under the Old Testament that improved their lives, kept them safe from eating things that they shouldn't. Well, today, following the New Testament improves our lives. There's reasons why God gave us these directions, these instructions, commands. Here we see Blade giving some McDonald's toys out to some of the Chuukese children. They have nothing. They have nothing. So they were very excited to get this. Well, brethren, the last 7 or 8 governors of the state of Chuuk have taken the state's money and fled the country. Now think about that with me. The last 7 or 8 of them have taken the state's money and fled the country. And so that is why the road to Epinoop is as poor as it is and difficult as it is. They have no money. People are stealing it and taking it. Well, as the gospel gets stronger in the islands, it will help them to make better decisions, make righteous decisions. It will improve their way of life. It will improve the way of life for these children. So that's one reason, brethren. But the greatest reason is we've got to continue taking the gospel into the Northwest Pacific because, brethren, it will save their souls. It'll save their lives. It will save their souls. And they need it so badly. The gospel will continue to turn the world upside down in the Northwest Pacific. The islanders have a gift that they would like to give to you. This is a Chuukese love stick. And in former days, the boy who was courting the girl and wanted some time with her, maybe take her for a moonlight walk or something, he would go up to her hut and slide this stick through the grass wall of the hut. And you see, it has a pattern on it. And every boy has his own distinct pattern that he has carved. And the girl has memorized that pattern. And so he'll slide the stick in through the wall and she'll feel of the stick and know which boy is asking her to come and go for a walk. And that is how maybe he would... Maybe he would try to flirt with her, you see. Well, if she did not want to go, if she wanted to go, she'd pull the stick inside. If she didn't want to go, she'd just slide it right back outside, brother. That's right. So that's an easy way to say no. Maybe some of our girls wish we still had that. But brethren, for them it was a romantic love. From the islanders to you, it's a spiritual love. And they and I thank you for your involvement in the work, your prayers in the work, and your help in the work very much. Do we have any time left, brother? About 3 minutes. Questions? Brother, you come build one and I'll go there. I promise you that. No, they have hardware stores. There is an Ace Hardware there. And we got a lot of our materials from that Ace Hardware. But it's amazing how many materials they would not have, how many materials they would run out of, and say, well, when will it be restocked? 2 or 3 months. When the shipping container arrives, 2 or 3 months. So we would watch their inventory list, and if something we thought we needed started to get low, we'd buy everything that we needed right away. And we couldn't, for example, for the floorboards, we could not get 3/4-inch treated plywood, which you need. It needs to be treated because of the termites. Very, very bad. So we had to use 1/2-inch plywood, which is really not enough. There's give in the floor. Now, well, that's one of the situations that we ran into. They will do anything. They will, and if they have a degree, it does not matter. They'll do anything. This lady, Agnes, takes care of two elderly people. That's her job. One of our sisters works in the gas station that's next to the church building. She does financial records. One of the brothers, the preacher junior, is a pig farmer. Grows pineapples as well. What else? Some of the fellows will do construction. They'll do anything. They're just thankful to get a job outside of the Philippines and to be able to provide for their families. Well, in Saipan it is. There were, until the economic crisis in Saipan this year, there were 14 garment factories. All but I think about 2 have closed up now. And so they would be glad to do sewing, sure. The islands that I visit are Saipan, Palau, and Chuuk. Saipan is where the family lives and stays, and then 1 week per month I travel to Palau, and the next month it'll be a week in Chuuk. The miles are 15. If you draw a triangle, the legs of the triangle would be 1,500 miles, and we fly by Continental Airlines. Now, once inside the island country, we'll take boats to the outer islands if we're going there, but it's airlines there. It's a 30-minute plane ride to Guam, and then another 2 and a half hours on to Palau or Chuuk.